first, let's review the case. How did this case get started?
You know, the actual origins of how the investigation began are not completely known, at least in the public record that I've seen. But, you know, it officially sort of became public in 2010 when Beatriz Muñezi was arrested in June of 2010 in Manchester and charged with the crimes that she faces now at trial. So
now,
you know,
she had been in she's been in New Hampshire for many, many years since the 90s. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she came in 98 and lived shortly in Plymouth and then moved to Manchester. And, you know, frankly, was a very open and active member of the community.
So who brought the case?
The federal government. So it was investigated by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is part of Department of Homeland Security. And it's being tried by federal prosecutors out of Boston. You know, there were a number of witnesses who were brought from Rwanda last February for her first trial. And, you know, and again, these individuals took the stand and leveled very serious charges against her that they eyewitnessed, you know, they saw her doing things like singling people out to be killed, taking food to men who had been holding women in rooms and raping them, in one case, to shooting a nun in the head was one of the allegations from one of the witnesses. And Beatriz's, Muñez's attorneys basically, during cross-examination, were able to call up a lot of testimony these same witnesses had given elsewhere, and at times introduce questions of consistency and accuracy, to the point that when the trial was over, in a post-trial ruling, the judge, McAuliffe, you know, basically described it as, quote, effectively impeached the witnesses during the first trial.
So the first trial ended with a hung jury. Why specifically? Was it translation? Was it because these witnesses were effectively impeached?
Yeah, and, you know, to some degree, it's speculation because we can't know what was in the mind of the 12 jurors. But the bottom line is it was a clouded enough picture from everything that occurred in the courtroom. And as you mentioned, a big piece of that was translation. So what's happening here is, you know, the witnesses from Rwanda who are coming into court to testify against Beatriz are speaking Kinyarwandan, which is, you know, the main language. They are speaking in Kinyarwandan. Those words are being translated by a courtroom interpreter into English. The attorneys are then asking questions back in English, so you've got this back and forth. But it's complicated further because in some cases, questioning is based on documents that are in Kinyarwandan or English or French and have been translated already. So, you know, you have on top of all the issues of just actual truth of the story, what happened and what are people saying, you have this sort of layer of linguistic hurdle to get over. And I think that was something that came up a lot during the first trial as just a practical challenge.
So what will be different in this new trial? How will they approach it?
This time around, the government has said that in the interim, since last February and this February, investigators have returned to Rwanda, have identified new witnesses who will come over. So it remains to be seen exactly who takes the stand. But many of those who come from Rwanda to accuse Beatriz Muñezi this time will be new to this courtroom. That really, to me, is going to be the real substance of this case. You know, the new charge, the new specific accusations, and the defense against those. Although in the big picture, it's the same story. The government says she took part in the genocide, and she denies doing that.
And she lied in order to come to the United States.
Yes, and that, yeah. And that's yeah. So the legal question is, did she lie on her immigration documents? And, you know, in order to establish that, the government is trying to prove that, well, she took part in it, so therefore, of course, she lied.
Do you know of any case that's comparable in New Hampshire?
No, I don't. I mean, I think certainly not around the issue of the Rwandan genocide or anything that's been tried to this level in a federal court. I mean, this is it's a massively complex trial, and it's a very resource-intensive trial. This has been 3 years, and it's, you know, and again, from the defendant's perspective, from Beatriz Muñez's perspective, I mean, she was arrested in June of 2010 and was held in Dover in the Stratford County Jail for nearly 2 years without bail. After the mistrial, the judge granted a request to release her to house arrest. So for the past 8 months, she's been under house arrest in Manchester. And so, you know, just both from that side and from the resources of the federal government, they've never disclosed, you know, how much this trial has cost. But it has taken, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of attorney and investigator hours. So the stakes are very high, I think, obviously for Beatrice Munyezi and what happens to her, and obviously for the government.
What would happen to her if a guilty verdict came down?
Well, there's a process that would have to play out, but she would, if it's proven that, you know, that she lied on her citizenship, she would be stripped of her citizenship, could face jail time in the U.S., prison time in the U.S., and could, you know, an administrative proceeding could be begun to have her deported.